On today's episode, we have another edition of Keep It, Fix It, or Burn It. And today we're talking about Storybook Circus. This is episode 105 of the Diz Dudes podcast. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Jared Lee, and I'm joined, as usual, by my trusty co-host, Mr. Jeremy Deborah Stein, who is now in... We're both week three of self-quarantining, I believe. So, Jeremy, how are you doing?
I'm okay. It was day two of school, and I did not start drinking at 10 a.m., so I feel like that was good. I feel accomplished. So, that's about all I got. It's over... Whelming. So, I mean, I can't even imagine. We've got a friend that is a teacher. She's a kindergarten teacher. She said the hardest thing is all of these parents that are just constantly emailing her back because a link doesn't work. Like, so she's having to be a teacher. She's having to be schedule things. She's having to be an IT person almost. And so I know the teachers have got to be overwhelmed, but they're doing a really, really good job here in our county of getting stuff together and communicating with parents. So that part's good. It's just tough on our end when I've got, you know, stacks of papers that I got to try and figure out what's what and what Lacey's supposed to be doing at any given time. And Lacey's the trouble kid in my class. So,
so what you're saying...
I bet her parents are jerks.
So what you're saying is you don't want to be a teacher.
I do not. Okay. I don't like teaching one child that's my own. I cannot imagine teaching 20 that I don't even own.
Yeah, I never wanted to be a teacher, and I'm sure there's a lot of people sitting here going like, "Oh yeah, like this is terrible. I don't want to do this." But yeah, well, our kids like we were talking about before this when we were live here. Our kids aren't old enough to be in school, and so I mean, honestly, my day to day isn't a lot different, other than just knowing you can't go anywhere. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. You can go places, just kind of weirdly. But I will say this. I'm staying home, but if I have one more celebrity tell me to stay home, I'm going to go outside for days. I'm tired. With me and my, like, don't tell me to stay outside like you're my father. Like all these PSAs. I'm like, listen, I wasn't going to go outside, but now that Ja Rule told me to go outside, I'm going outside. Because Ja Rule has made terrible decisions in his life. And
he's still
I guess
around.
He filmed some PSA about... He went like, if you go outside, it's murder. I'm like, dude, you got destroyed by 50 Cent. Like, no, just stop.
Oh, gosh.
Now, if 50 comes on and asks me to, I might. Yeah.
I would listen.
I
saw that, this is kind of the same, but I saw that Eminem's daughter graduated from college.
Oh.
So good for her.
Haley.
That was a headline I saw today, and it was neat to see a headline that wasn't about everything else going on. It almost like broke up my news feed, and I'm like, this is awesome. Yeah. Good for her. Maybe I'll send her a present.
Just put from Jeremy.
Yeah, that makes me feel old when rappers that I started listening to 20 years ago have kids that are graduating from college. Like, there's some of those times.
Well, I started feeling older whenever guys that were in the NBA, their kids would be like playing college ball in the NBA.
Yes.
I know one didn't make it, like Patrick Ewing Jr. I don't think he's in the league, but like Tim Hardaway Jr., Glenn Rice had a kid. Like there's been a few that their kids start and you're like, wow, I remember watching that guy as a kid play and now he's
now I'm watching his kid.
That's the part that's kind of for sure. But I mean quarantining, honestly the weirdest part for me is just not like working out from home, not having the gym to go to and stuff like that. Because, I mean, for me, like, working from home, and you can attest to this, I'm sure, you need something like break up your day or get out of the house or do something typically. So, like, the gym was always a nice break because I could go there, just have my own time, work out, you know, go get food afterwards or something like that. But now that's just – I still work out at home, but it's just weird because you don't get any break. It's just, like, all the same spots.
Yeah.
But
yep. Well, that's what I was saying to you is, you know, my day went by – I didn't have to look at a clock to know what time it was because, like, the kids left at 8 a.m. Rhonda left at 9 a.m. I ate lunch at noon. You know, like, they got home at 3.
Right.
And so I knew what time it was. And now every time I look at my watch, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me that that's all the time it is. Like, this day is the longest day ever. I saw one this morning where somebody was like, in case you were wondering, today is March 98th. I'm like, yep, that sounds about right.
Oh, March.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I thought January was
March feels
long.
Like it's, it has.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Well, for us, February felt forever because when we moved.
Yeah. Yep.
No, was it February? Well, it was January. No, January. Sorry, January, because that's the whole time we were getting ready to move. Yep. So 2020 has seemed like it's gone on for about 6 years now.
Seriously.
I feel like it's been quite a thing, but
yeah.
Hopefully this will all pass rather soon and we can all get back to our lives. Although an interesting discussion, which I maybe what we'll do is we've been talking about doing those roundtables anyways for Club 32. It would be an interesting roundtable to talk about when Disney does reopen, what will it look like? Because it's going to look different.
Right, of course.
Like, what might they do? Like, there's going to be some things I think Disney's going to announce they're going to do that are going to kind of probably surprise some people.
Yeah.
Because, we're hearing from cast members some ideas that they are hearing and things, and some of them sound like, how do you do certain things, like on the buses and things like that?
Of course. Yep. It's going to change a lot of things.
Yeah. Interesting topic, because I like theorizing about things and stuff like that, so it'd be interesting to see like how much of it comes to fruition. But today we are back for another edition of Keep It, Fix It, or Burn It. And if you aren't familiar with these, we take usually it's an attraction, but a lander. We'll take something, and then we'll talk about if we should keep it as it is, if we want to fix it up, give it a little bit of a spruce up, or if we just want to burn it to the ground and start new. So that's what we're going to do today, talking about Storybook Circus. But before we do that, we just want to remind you to check out some of the other shows on the Captured Magic Network. We've got the Captured Magic podcast with myself and my lovely wife, Jamie, every Monday and Friday. And we have a Main Street Magic podcast with Jeremy and his lovely wife, Rhonda. Jeremy, not so lovely, but Rhonda is very lovely, every Tuesday and Thursday. And then Jamie has Trip Tales. I think there's one more coming out, but with Disney being closed, may not be another one for a little bit until it opens. She might do, I think she had somebody that went on a trip recently that maybe will do one. So, because that show is kind of dependent upon people going to Disney, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll see on that one. And then in Club 32, we've got CTM at the Movies. We've got the Jonda Show. We've got Jamie and I've been doing cooking segments every Friday. This week, we're going to do Ohana noodles and pot stickers, I think is what we're going to do. Jeremy and Rhonda have been doing some lives from home, too. We all been doing live streams trying to help everybody throughout the quarantine. Obviously, we have Disney's Live here. So if you want to be part of those, go to ctmvip.com, and you can be part of that. We'll hope to keep you entertained throughout all this. And then after all this is done, we do live streams in the parks and all sorts of cool content. If you want to join, go there. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about our awesome travel agency sponsor, Zippity Doodah Travel, who we brought on this month, and the timing wasn't the best because Disney shut down for the first time ever. But if you're looking at a Disney trip later in the year, or maybe the summer, just go to travelwithzip.com and you can fill out a form there and just tell them what you're looking at doing. And they'll tell you what, deals they can do and stuff like that. And it's something too that what we stress is having a travel agent, it's kind of like having your own assistant that you don't have to pay. I mean, they take care of a lot of stuff for you. So if you're looking at a bigger trip, they can help you with fast passes, dining stuff, everything like that. So, and they're really good people. They're not going to high pressure you. They're not going to be, they're not going to haggle you forever. So just go to travelwithzip.com, fill out the form there, and then they will get in touch with you because they're awesome and they're good people. So, all right, I think that's it. So let's talk about Storybook Circus.
Yeah.
What we want to do with
let's
it.
Chat. This is an interesting one.
Okay. A little bit of, I looked up real quick here and found a little bit of history on Storybook Circus. So originally, obviously it wasn't Storybook Circus. It was where Toontown was, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I thought. So says Mickey's, okay. After this is what it says on the site here. Mickey's Birthday Land opened at Magic Kingdom June 18th, 1988, in honor of Mickey Mouse's 60th birthday. And it was meant to be a temporary, was set up in an area, unused space, near what was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea in Fantasyland, blah, blah, blah. They've got a lot of stuff about this. Then it was the birthday area of Magic Kingdom reopened as Mickey's Starland on May 26, 1990, themed around afternoon cartoons that were popular at the time. Then it said Mickey's Toyland, which was between December 1995 and early 1996. And then it was renamed Mickey's, let's see, Toontown Fair. And then said it was refurbished to house a more permanent land, Mickey's Toontown Fair. The remodeled included more permanent established buildings and an all-new backstory for the land. And then it became Storybook Circus. The new Fantasyland project began at Magic Kingdom in 2010. And then now it has the great Goofini's Barnstormer. It's got the Dumbo ride back there. Other features include Casey Jr. Splash and Soak Water Playground, Pete's Silly Slideshow, or Sideshow Character Meet and Greet Area, Big Top Souvenirs, and Big Top Treats. So that's some history on Storybook Circus there. So now it comes down to what would, I guess now it's just a Bob. I guess Chapek. I guess the Bob still. Anyways. They call you up. What are you telling them to do with Storybook Circus?
This one's, I like this one because we're talking a whole land, you know, and not just a ride. So I think we can be a little more inventive. But this is just the, especially for us, because this is geared so much towards much younger kids. It's just a forgotten land. Like, I think most people just don't even think of visiting this unless they have multiple days at Magic Kingdom or something and they have very young children. I think it'd be easy, and my first thought was burn it to the ground and build, like, Arendelle. But then I don't think Magic Kingdom is made for an IP to have a whole land. That's kind of what they're doing at Hollywood Studios. And it really would only be an extension of Fantasyland, so I don't think we need that. So I kind of want to do a mashup of what it used to be when it was Toontown and the Toontown that they have over in Disneyland. And, you know, even though we don't have those young kids anymore and this land would probably not be for them, I almost think 20, 25 years from now, me taking my grandkid there, I used to love walking through Mickey and Minnie's house. I thought that was cool as an adult. And I enjoyed taking the girls when they were, I guess really it would have only been Kaylin that would have been very young, 1 or 2 years old when it was Toontown. And just, you know, again, give Mickey and Minnie and kind of the Fab Five their due right. I know we've got Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway now, but I think you could make some minor changes over here. You could still keep Barnstormer, which is a good kid coaster. You know, I mean, you can still keep half of the land the way it is, but revert back to having that little town portion that has Mickey and Minnie's. And then I know they have over in Disneyland, there's like a Donald boat attraction. And much of theirs over in Disneyland is themed around Roger Rabbit, which would be very cool. I would go for an entire Roger Rabbit land. I just don't know if he's had enough staying power, you know, all these years later, but I would take that in a heartbeat too.
Yeah, I'm torn on, anytime we talk about this, it's like you have your ideal thing you would do versus what Disney would probably do,
right,
given that how they're just so IP heavy, especially with now with Chapek in charge.
Right.
So my idea actually, so my thing with this is I don't remember it. I never was there when it was Toontown. I think the Toontown concept would be really awesome. Like, I know our daughter would love it. Yeah. I know kids would love it. I think it has a lot of mass appeal. I don't think Disney would revert back to it, though.
Right.
Because even Mickey Mouse is not their biggest IP now.
No, which is crazy.
And that's the thing. It's like they already have a ride. So, ideally, I would like just to take it back to Toontown because nostalgia-wise, I would love to be able to experience it. I know you can go do it at Disneyland, mm-hmm. but just the one in Disney World. But the thing I think that would make a lot of sense, and it's funny you said it, is you do Arendelle, but you do it like Toontown, whereas you can walk into like the castle and you can go, it's like the town of Arendelle, which I think would be really cool because it'd be the most immersive. Like there's really never been anything like that at Disney where you can go into, in the animated style of stuff, into the entire town and immerse yourself that way. And Frozen is probably, I would say, the biggest Disney franchise right now. I mean, especially animation wise.
Yeah.
So I would say I do enjoy Tangled more, but Tangled also is mostly the tower. So whereas Arendelle is kind of synonymous with Frozen, it would make a little bit of sense to do that. And you could retheme some stuff and things like that. Because a lot of people have pointed out, and you pointed out, and some people in the chat here pointed out, and myself too, we have little kids. We never go in here.
Right.
Like the only time we ever go in here was a Halloween party and it was Minnie and Daisy had certain get-ups.
Yeah.
But ride-wise, like, I think a lot of people just forget it's there. I forget it's there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you made it Arendelle, yeah, you have Fantasyland. You can make an extension. It technically is part of Fantasyland, so there is that. But I think this would immediately become insanely popular at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, you can make the argument, too, there's already Frozen in Epcot. Agreed. But Disney already has properties kind of all over the place anyways. So it wouldn't be anything that's like unprecedented. But I feel like given it's an IP thing, I would definitely be more interested in seeing Arendelle versus Storybook Circus. Because partially, I hate circuses. I hate clowns. I just don't like the vibe of the whole place anyways. Like, it's not... Yeah. If a circus is coming to town, I'm leaving town.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like them. So for me, the whole thing is just... It's not really anything that I kind of really enjoy to begin with, theming-wise, I guess.
Yeah, and if you know, if you put it, if you just consider it, it butts right up to Fantasyland and to, you know, the show building for Under the Sea. You've got Seven Dwarves that kind of goes into that area right before the entrance. So it fits in there very well. And it would almost work because as you walk through Fantasyland, everything's kind of just separated out because you've got the carousel and it's not like one cohesive land. It's just all about fantasy. But as you start to get back towards Be Our Guest and, you know, Little Mermaid, they are smaller lands. You know, you've got the grotto there and you've got Gaston's Tavern. You've got the Be Our Guest restaurant. So they all smaller lands and it would convert perfectly into an Arendelle. And I almost think of it in a way of like Diagon Alley over at Universal and what they've done.
That's kind of what I was thinking,
That's very Arendelle-esque in a way. And I think it'd be very cool to be able to walk in there and walk through that. And, yeah, maybe, you know, you could put some attraction, put one good attraction in there. I don't know what it would be. I wonder if they could do – see, I think they'd have to do like a – I could see it being some sort of 3D or virtual sled ride, you know, or something like that could probably fit in there.
Well – and someone asked, would you keep Barnstormer? Would you keep Dumbo? I think, see, and Jamie's brought this up before. You already have two of the same ride in Magic Kingdom. You have Dumbo and you have the Carpets of Aladdin.
Yeah.
Make a choice which one you want to keep and get rid of the other one.
And the only reason they have Dumbo is because they did that interactive queue, which technically makes it better. But it's a big footprint because there's two of them.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
There's some space.
And that's maybe my thinking is maybe you keep. Yeah, maybe you keep that because it does have that sort of daycare element to it that I know families enjoy. So maybe we keep that. We retheme the Dumbo ride as now with Frozen 2. Have you seen Frozen 2? Maybe it's one of the elements or something like that that you fly around on or do something on. So you could retheme that. Barnstormer, you know, maybe you get rid of Barnstormer, like you said, do that idea for some sort of ice-based ride or anything like that. But I feel like it's an area that would work. And like many people said, clowns are the worst. I don't know if anybody that likes clowns. And the whole area, it's like Dumbo is obviously a very popular Disney thing, but you can't really say Dumbo is relative today. It's definitely one of those like nostalgia things. So I feel like it would instantly become super popular. It would, like you said, it would fit in the area because you're near, you know, aerial stuff. You've got Beast Castle not too far away from there. So it would fit in that whole thing. It wouldn't be, you know, like a sore thumb where it's like, well, there's no other stuff like it when there actually kind of is. So I feel like it would fit. I feel like it would be insanely popular. And you could do some cool stuff in there like at Christmas time. Like you could do, you know, maybe they, you know, I don't know. It's got a lot of potential. And this has come from somebody, now that I've seen Frozen 2, I like Frozen a little bit more. Because I did not really care for first Frozen.
Right.
I didn't think the first Frozen movie was that good. But Frozen 2, I am a fan of. And I will say this, after seeing Frozen 2, whoever does not like Kristoff's song,
it's the best.
I don't know what to tell you. That thing is hilarious.
It is amazing.
Great. And like, if I don't, like, I heard people, like, before I saw the movie, people were like, all this, you know, either they hated it or they loved it. I don't know how you could not like it. Now, if you hate the 80s, then I guess, because it's kind of like an homage to the 80s, but. Dude, have that song, like have some performance of that song involved.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm game. I'm there all day. So I think based off Frozen 2, and maybe that's what you do, the Frozen Ever After ride that's in Epcot, that's based off the first Frozen, and then this area is the updated Frozen 2 area.
Yeah.
And it's got the updated stuff and things like that.
Yeah, and because they have a ton of source material. You know, and you've got two movies. Yeah. You've got Olaf's Frozen Adventure and some of those shorts. You can do an Olaf's Frozen Adventure complete overlay during Christmas time. You know, I mean, there is a lot you could do. And I mean, I'm looking at the map, and when you walk in that land, it doesn't feel very big, but looking at an overhead map, there's a lot of space there, a lot more than you realize.
I mean, well, you've got the railroad over there too.
Yep.
The station and all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. You've got, I mean, yeah, the slideshow is a pretty good space. The Big Top Souvenirs is a giant space. Of course,
I'll Dumbo. You could wear the souvenir shop.
Yeah.
And that would free up. You could put another attraction where the souvenir shop is.
Easily. Yeah. I think.
And just have a nice little area when you get off the ride to buy stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, because Disney's obviously going to sell you something to get off a ride. But
and coming off of the, that'd be cool to come off the railroad. Once that, you know, it opens back up after Tron is done, and step into Arendelle. I mean, you can have two very good entrances, you know, a main entrance there coming from Fantasyland and Tomorrowland, and then stepping off that railroad and playing that into it, I think would be cool. It's I think that really is probably the most fitting.
I mean, from a nostalgia point of view, I would like to see, like I said, the Mickey and Minnie's houses. But I also think that's a limited thing, because over time, like, I don't know how popular that would be, but I guarantee you if they did an Arendelle, I mean, that thing would be popular for, it'd be like Seven Dwarfs. It'd be six or 7 years later and that thing would still be insanely popular.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, people make an argument that Magic Kingdom already has enough stuff, but it would spread people out a bit more. But I think it has a lot of potential. You could technically do three attractions there. You could retheme the Dumbo, and someone had brought up the horse in the chat here in Club 32, the water horse, which you could do that, or you could have different elements. Like, you could have the horse and you couldn't really have the Bruno or whatever, but you could have different things in there. Like, one could be the wind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could, like I said, put a different ride where Barnstormer is, and then do a new ride where Big Top Souvenirs is, and that gives you three rides in a new land. I don't see how it wouldn't be a hit. Because I think at this point, I'm surprised Disney hasn't done more with Frozen yet.
Yeah, and they're getting it overseas.
It's such a hit.
So they're going to have they're going to have done it. And, you know, the one they're doing over there is that kind of, I think it's going to be a family coaster, Wandering Oak and Sliding Sleighs in Hong Kong Disneyland is the one they're putting in there. So you could
still
have a
coaster. I do like
that
guy, by the way.
Oh, he's awesome. He's great. Yeah.
That guy's funny.
Yeah. So I think that is the best possible scenario. Now, I mean, just talking through it even more, and it definitely makes the most sense. And I would not, you know, there's potentially a Frozen 3. I would be shocked if there's not a Frozen 3. Because, I mean, this is
and
just,
you could,
again.
And you could promote it in that land. Yeah. Yep. Shannon had a good point. She said you could do a virtual ride of Elsa going through the dark sea and through the glacier where she sees her mom, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part where she slides down the ramp. Yeah, you could basically have a ride where, like, again, Frozen Ever After and Epcot tells the story of the first Frozen. You could have a ride in this land that basically tells the story of, like, Frozen 2.
Yeah.
Like, summarizes it in a way. It goes through some of those parts. Yeah, I mean, again, I like Frozen more now after the second one, which is funny. Like, our daughter, she likes it, but she definitely not as into it as she was the first one. But it's by far a better movie, I think.
Yeah, I think
like
it
it's
is.
Got more rewatchability. It's got some funny moments to it. So, I would be fine with it. I think that'd be good. And I to me, it's got more appeal than a circus in Dumbo.
Oh, completely. I think it would to most people.
Because I would love to know the attendance numbers, but I feel like Storybook Circus is just kind of a forgotten land. Like, you never hear anybody say, other than, you know, when you have small kids, the Dumbo ride is kind of nice because it gives kids a place to, you can cool off and they can play.
Yeah.
But outside of it just being part of like a little thing where kids can go hang out, there's not, I don't really hear any parents being like, oh yeah, we got to go over there to ride this or do that. Like, it's just not and kids don't really relate to Dumbo as much as they do like Anna and Elsa.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, or like Olaf. So.
Well, and there's plenty else throughout Magic Kingdom that appeases to young kids. It'd be one thing if you had this Storybook Circus at Hollywood Studios, which is not a very young kid park. There's not a lot they can do there. And you go, oh, there is an area made for kids. Let's go visit it. But at Magic Kingdom, you're not walking around Magic Kingdom like, there's nothing for my child to do. Oh, there's Storybook Circus. Let's go over there. There's plenty for your kid to do in every other land. So it's just not even necessary there to have like a kid section, I feel like. The whole park is geared towards children. Of young ages. So that's where it just doesn't fit. And especially with the railroad not running right now and nobody getting off at that stop there, it's really forgotten. You just walk past it.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Now, I would say after all of this, the park being shut down as long as it has, they're probably not going to be taking any new construction projects for a bit, would be my guess. So I guess that would go against it. But at some point, maybe. But no, I think we have a good idea here.
Yeah. And I just keep thinking of things. I keep thinking of things like this that get done in the other parks that could be then brought over here and implemented quicker. You know, I mean, if we ever get the rights back to the Marvel characters, we've said a million times, well, they're testing out, you know, turning Rock and Roller Coaster to an Iron Man coaster overseas. So pretty easy here. And I feel like this is the same thing. They'll learn a lot from building Arendelle overseas and some of those parks that it would be easier in theory then for them to bring it over here.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that would be cool.
Here's a question. Once or if they get the Marvel rights, do you think they would ever put anything in Magic Kingdom that's Marvel related? I personally don't see what they could.
I don't think they would.
But I wonder if they would have the temptation.
Tomorrowland would be the only option. I think Tomorrowland would be the only option is to convert that, but they're putting Tron in. So you're not going to all of a sudden convert Marvel, you know, or convert that land to Marvel. I mean, I still think it belongs at Hollywood Studios, you know, makes the most sense,
agree.
Of course.
I had saw somebody, it was in another group at one point, and said something about bringing Marvel into Magic Kingdom, and I was like, I just don't see how you could even,
no.
I don't even see how you could take, you wouldn't put a whole land and even a singular character, I don't even know a singular character that would work.
Right.
That I mean, anything you would try to put in there would clearly just be a stretch.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would, but no, it's always funny just talk about that because, you know, but also nobody ever thought they were probably being frozen into Epcot either.
True.
So.
This is very true.
You know, stuff like that. But all right. Well, I like our idea here.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody in the group has any other ideas here. So basically our final thing here is does that qualify? That's just a burn it to the ground.
Burn it.
And then build Arendelle.
Let's clear the whole thing out. Start from scratch. Build it ground
Make sure
up.
We get rid of, go in there, we get rid of all the clowns, make examples of them. You know, and I think too, I feel like as a society, we can all get behind that clowns are terrible. And if anybody's like, if you know anybody and you're like, hey, what are you going to do after college? You're like, I'm going to be a clown. You should be legally allowed to be like, okay, I'm going to punch you now because this is a terrible life choice for you. And then as much as the punch would hurt them, I feel like it would be less painful than the career choice they would make in being a clown.
It would do a service.
Yeah, there's nothing about a clown that's funny or... Like, I don't even find clowns scary. I just don't understand. Like, I get there was a time period where they must have been funny or entertaining because there really weren't that many entertainment options.
Right.
But in 2020, I mean, why do you need a clown? Unless you're just wanting to, like, terrorize some kids. I mean, that, you know. But
Sometimes I get
rid of the clowns. Yeah, and we get rid of the circus theme. And I'm fine with circuses being a thing of never happening again. Like, I just, like, a circus tent just seems dirty and, weird to me.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with getting rid of that.
Yeah. No, that works. I like this. I like this idea.
I do too. We can send those over to them and see if they may not be in the office. They may just have a bunch of mail waiting for them when they get done here. But yeah, so we'll send that over. See if anybody in Club 32 has anything that they want to add to the conversation here. Da-da-da. Someone said, if they're keeping it, I'd like to see some sort of actual circus or show featuring the Fab Five.
See, that's the thing. They don't even feature them in there enough.
I know. That's true.
I mean, I can agree if they were to keep it. Regardless, it needs changes. I mean, I don't ever see them burning it to the ground and building Arendelle. Unfortunately, that probably won't happen. But it needs something. You're right. I don't know what it is. You need a reason for people to walk through that door. And... I mean, heck, Barnstormer, you can say, oh, you know, that's a good ride for your kid's first roller coaster. The ride is like 7 seconds long. I mean, it's the shortest ride. It's got to be the shortest ride in all of Disney. And like you said, we already have, you have Triceratops Spin over at Animal Kingdom, and you've got Magic Carpets. We don't need Dumbo. So just, they've got to do something to that land. Or I think it'll be one that just kind of sits there forgotten and doesn't change forever. You know?
At this point, probably. And the thing that hurts it, too, like a lot of the other lands you walk through, and that one you have to purposely go into it.
Yep.
And I think there's nothing that people look at it there and go, oh, I want to go check that out. Now, if it was Arendelle, and you could have a really cool like visual, like when you walk into Diagon Alley of like when you see it and it represents it all and stuff like that. But yeah, there's nothing about it as it stands where you walk by that and go, I want to go check that out. Unless you just happen to be like a retired clown and then you're like, I'm home. And then hopefully the masses see you and they escort you out or something. But yeah, and there's just nothing that draws you in there. Because again, you walk through Fantasyland, you walk through, you know, where Gaston's Tavern and the castle and Seven Dwarfs. So you're just casually going through those areas and you have to actually go through the entrance over there in Storybook.
Right. Yeah.
So that, I think that definitely, there's just nothing that draws you in there. There's nothing that makes you go, I want to go check out a circus. What about Disney World?
For sure.
All right. Was there anything else? Because we relatively quickly.
Well, that's because our idea is so good.
Conclusion there.
Yeah. Our idea is just awesome. And it makes the most sense.
Solid, yeah. There's no need to add to it. Is there anything else we should discuss during this quarantine about Disney? Yeah,
not that I can think of.
I can't think of anything either. I mean, there's not a lot going on at Disney. I mean, other than they did announce that the upper management, I guess, is taking a pay cut.
Yes.
Which you know what? That's a good move. They didn't have to. I haven't heard of any other companies doing that. So,
I have not seen yet. No.
Even if you're somebody who doesn't care for the Disney upper brass, you have to say that's a good. At least it's a good move in how it looks PR wise.
Yeah. Totally.
And I think I saw a 10% to 20% pay cut, which.
Chapek was taking 50. Chapek was taking 50, and Iger's foregoing.
Yeah, I saw Iger was foregoing his. Yeah, and I don't know how much that frees up for the everyday people, but it definitely helps, and it's definitely something that's a good gesture at the very least.
Yeah, I think so very much, and it's funny because you still will see people go, oh well, they got paid too much anyway. Okay, let's just like the thing. I mean, yeah. I think it was, is it 25 million that I think Zuckerberg was donating. And everybody comes out of the wood. That's it. You're only going to give $25 million? Like, well,
what? And they were basing it on like what his worth is. I'm like, right. Well, okay, but are you giving however much it worth is into anything? You know,
agree.
People just like, honestly, we live in an age where it's so easy and it's sort of I don't want to say idolized, but it's positively reinforced to be negative and critique people. I mean, it's really easy to spend other people's money.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's like, if it's not yours, like, well, he only gave $25 million. It's like, well, he didn't have to give anything. Like, right. I haven't heard a lot of people giving a lot of money to places. So, yep. I mean, if anybody has any generosity, I don't think that first reaction should be,
that's
you tightwad. You only gave $25 million. I mean, you know.
I mean, if I gave right now, I don't know what the comparison would be, but if I just went online somewhere and said I'm donating $25, I mean, that's nothing. Nobody's going to come out of the woodwork and be like, you only donated $25, Jeremy? You suck. Like, nobody's
going to.
You'd
see my blog post about how Jeremy Stein's a tightwad.
Yeah.
He only gave $25. I saw him last week buying $50 worth of groceries.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Vodka. Well, and if anything, too, with Disney, if you wanted to be cynical, at the very least, you could say Disney doesn't always get a lot of good PR.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of it's self-inflicted many times, mm-hmm. and I've made the point that sometimes their announcements – aren't always the most streamlined or best timed things they do. So if anything, you could say it does give them some solid positive PR. So at the very least, if you want to be cynical about it and say it doesn't make a difference, well, at least they're also sending the message too that they're kind of in this together.
Yes.
So if that's the message they're trying to send, I don't think it's a bad move, and I applaud them for doing it. And hopefully this will all be over here within a couple of weeks, and we'll just look back on this and think about it as the. Remember the time Disney was shut down for whatever it is, a month and a half, and be like, oh yeah, that really was weird.
And then remember the time the Diz dudes thought it would be cool to put Arendelle in Magic Kingdom, and then it happened. Like, that's how we're going to look back on it.
And then during during the inauguration speech, Bob Chapek didn't give him credit.
Just like everything else.
It'd be funny at that point, like, if it does happen and you just audibly hear, like, you're in the crowd and he doesn't think. You just hear, like, oh, come on!
we'll do, like, we'll take, like, in the 80s movies, we'll take a big boom box and hold it above our head and play this episode. That's how we'll do it.
And then when they escort us out, we'll be like, listen, guy.
Whoever then we can want, do the whole, who's coming with me? Like,
speaking, that makes me laugh. The guy, do you ever know that Puppy Dog Pals show that's on? Well, your kid's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
There's a show called Puppy Dog Pals. It's like these two pugs that These dogs go everywhere, Jeremy. They get on planes. They go to Antarctica. Wow. If they need, like they needed ice cubes for iced tea for their owner, and they went to Antarctica to get them because that makes the most sense.
That's where you go.
Yeah.
It's very cold.
Right. And then one time they wanted, Bob is the guy, and he needed something, and they went to Egypt, and they got it, and they came back. But anyway, the guy that created that, he's the voice of it, is, remember the guy from Half-Baked that got arrested for feeding the horse?
Yes. Yeah.
That's him. Yeah, he's created great. This Disney show. Because I remember him, I think he was on Adam Carolla's show a couple years back, and they're like, what are you doing now? And he's like, oh, I created a cartoon on Disney Channel. And he's like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy money and some job security.
Wow. Like,
well, he's not wrong.
Harlan? Like, what's his name? Harlan?
Harlan Williams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love
But it's funny, you hear
movie.
The voice of the guy, and you're like, oh, yeah. Because I pointed out to Jamie the other day, like, you know who that is, right?
I'll go look up a YouTube video of it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's in terms of a kid's show, it's I mean, I don't know, it's cute. It's got like two little pugs and then a cat and like a robotic dog.
Yeah.
Don't know. Don't ask too many questions about it.
Right. Yeah, I'll look it up. Yeah. Half-Baked.
But it's just
movie.
Funny because seeing that movie and then him in it.
Right.
Like, that's, but it reminded me because you said who's coming with me because that was from Half-Baked. But yeah. All right. Well, I think that is, I think we've provided some more solid content for Disney to at some point do.
As always.
See if there's anything else in the comments before we go here. Someone asked, is Big Top Souvenirs open again?
I don't know if it
was closed
it
down.
It did reopen, I think. I can't remember if it reopened. Wasn't there like a fire and then there was a flood and then there was, it just, it had some rough
dust. That's right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if it reopened or not because I never go back there. So yeah, I don't know.
The last time we were back there was for one of the parties because they had a dance, they've got that little dance area.
Yeah, I mean, we probably just went to get candy. No, we went, last time I think we went in there, it's where they were giving away. They were giving away the snowman pretzels, I believe, for the Christmas party. And that was the last time we went in there. And I can't even imagine when we had been in there before that. It was probably for a party.
I think outside of parties, I think the last time it would have been one of the, when our daughter was really young, was to ride like Dumbo, which she still would ride. But yeah,
there's,
I mean, other than Dumbo, I don't really think there's many people to go back there much.
For sure. Totally.
Someone said, my daughter loves Dumbo, but she'd still pick Frozen over Dumbo.
Yeah.
I think that's the case. So most people would say, oh, okay, I get it.
I think everybody would pick that.
Someone said, I think Marvel would fit better in Hollywood Studios. Agreed.
Completely.
Someone said, I know all the contractual rubbish affects Marvel, but surely they are happy to hold back Marvel for a fifth gate. You know, we've kind of talked about here and there about what a fifth gate would be, which I don't even know at this point. Yeah. But I don't know if Marvel's enough for an entire fifth gate on its own.
I don't think so. I think you have to dedicate an entire
Yeah, it would be a super focused fifth. I mean, because if you didn't like Marvel, you just would have no reason to go.
Right.
I mean, one of the nice things about Disney in general is like Animal Kingdom. Like someone like me, I'm not big on animals, but Pandora is really cool.
Right.
So I would go to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Whereas if, you get people that just don't care about superheroes, they're just gonna be like, well, I'm not going to go.
Right.
But they could do a fifth park that involves a heavy part of Marvel, but I still think it does, like we've talked about, it fits in Hollywood Studios because it's definitely where the movie stuff goes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you could definitely do some stuff over there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You go to Hollywood Studios and you don't like Star Wars, you're still like, well, I'm already here for other stuff.
Right.
I might as well go check it out. But you're right. If it's a whole park and you go, I don't like Marvel, I'm not paying a ticket for that.
Exactly. So, I'm not going to pay for a fifth park. I'll do the other four and then whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. Someone said, and Astro Orbiter.
Yeah, that's another spinny ride.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't like that one.
Yeah. Someone said, 100 acre wood could work. It could. I don't really think it would fit very well over in that area, given what's like in Fantasyland, though, too much.
Yeah, because it'd be, and if you did it, then you'd have to pull out the Winnie the Pooh ride because it would be disconnected from turning that into a land. So I think you'd end
up
with
advantage.
A double. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the advantage that Frozen has, is there's no presence in Fantasyland.
Right, so it doesn't have to connect. You don't end, because otherwise you end up with a Galaxy's Edge Star Tours situation.
Yeah.
Which is
still
very, very odd. If for somebody who's visiting, just say for the first time, they're going to walk in and be like, oh, cool, this is Star Wars. Wait, no, it's not. It's just one ride. Where's everything else? You got to walk, you know, 300 yards down that street over there. Oh,
and
okay.
And there's this whole thing there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why I do think Star Tours is probably, at some point, it'll be something else in the next 5 to 15 years. I realize that's a vague timeline, but I feel like in that timeline, it could probably happen. But
here's a thought that will never happen, but it was one of my initial thoughts, because I do think that Muppets Courtyard is probably at some point going away at Hollywood Studios. They've never been able to reinvent this franchise, really. But I personally think a Muppets Land would be cool, and that's something you could put in there. But again, it's not realistic. But if it was realistic, if we thought Disney would spend the money, is that something you could see or want going in there as a Muppets-driven land?
Want, yeah, because I like the Muppets.
Yeah.
But I don't see them doing it, just because they haven't been able to get any sort of success. I mean, they had the movie with what's his face from
Jason Segel.
Yes, Jason Segel was a solid movie, and I thought it was potentially a good like leaping off point.
And then
the following movies just didn't do anything. Yep. And then the show that they tried, which I actually thought was kind of funny.
It was.
I watched a few episodes of it, but it just didn't catch on. So at this point, as much as I like the Muppets, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think the Muppets are super underrated. I think they're hilarious. Like Animal and Gonzo, I think, are always super funny. Like Kermit, I actually think is overrated. I don't think Kermit's that funny.
I think so too. But and I can't stand Miss Piggy.
I totally agree. The dynamic between Miss Piggy and him is the worst.
It's awful.
But Gonzo and Animal and some of those other ones, like Beaker and all those guys, like those guys are hilarious. Yes. But again, it's just with kids today and probably like, you know, 10, 15 years younger than us, it's not something they really grew up with. So it's just, as much as I would love to see that happen, I don't think it would.
Yeah. When I know I've said this and no offense to younger generations, but they don't understand how smart the humor of the Muppets is. You know what I mean? I just don't think they grasp it and get it the way that our generation who grew up with them get it. And that's why I think they just
smarter.
Fall flat. Yeah, basically.
We're sophisticated with our Muppets stuff. I agree. No, I agree. I think it's not. Yeah, it always had this element, because it was like the Muppets were in a world with humans.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't this weird thing where it was just like, oh, yeah, you walk around, there's Muppets around, and you just sort of do it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, honestly, a lot of it could be too. Like, obviously, Jim Henson isn't around. So without him sort of as the guy behind it all, I would assume that that's probably a lot to do with, obviously, because that was his thing and he got that. So that maybe just haven't found somebody that really understood or yeah. And we may never get the Muppets back. I mean, sadly, the Muppets may be that thing where the presence in the parks going forward will get less and less.
It'll slowly fade away for sure.
Like, someone says Swedish Chef. Swedish Chef is hilarious. The Swedish Chef. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the little shrimp. Yeah. What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the shrimp's name. He's hilarious, too.
Yeah, I can't remember that. I always just like Animal, because Animal would just start banging on drums. Yes. And it was like, thought it was funny.
Yep.
Dixie said Harlan Williams was on that Disney movie Rocket Man.
He was.
I forgot about Rocket Man.
It's a good movie.
Jamie's watched the movie that long ago, because she likes that era, like the 1920s and 30s era.
Yes, it is cool. I like that too.
Dixie said they have that new Muppet Babies show on Disney. I haven't watched any. I saw it was on there. I haven't. Our daughter, she's very demanding sometimes, and I tried to get her to watch it once, and she was not. She demanded it was. She's been into Big Hero 6 show.
Yeah,
not the movie. The show's really show, good. Which actually is pretty good for show based off of a movie. It's actually pretty solid.
It is.
Which I like Big Hero 6 a lot. I think it's kind of an underrated thing. I think it and Tangled are two of the more underrated like Disney animated movies, probably in the last like 10 years or so.
We talk very much about those and the Muppets on today's Main Street Magic episode.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, check that out.
Yeah, please.
I'll put it on my thing. Weird thing, in quarantine, I haven't listened to as many podcasts.
I haven't, because I usually would listen to them every morning on my walk, which is normally by myself, but I've been walking with Rhonda every morning, so we just talk, so I'm not listening
to them.
And
she wants to talk, and you're like, you should walk with her and be like, no talking.
I'll walk with her, but then I'll listen to our episode, like Main Street Magic episode, and I'll be like, honey, I'm hearing you. It's okay.
It's true. I'm listening to you right now.
So.
Yeah. that would just, when you tell Rhonda that, just video it. Just to see her reaction.
Be like, a live stream.
You just walk next to me around it, but don't talk to me. Just don't even look at me. 10 paces behind. I'm kidding. Someone said they could do an after hours event.
For Muppets?
Maybe Arendelle. Either one. I'm down to either one. So.
Yep.
Well, I think we saw, yeah. Well, the other idea we have for Disney is figure out something with Muppets and make it work, and then you can get Muppets back.
Boom. But
we'll see. Boom. Done. That'd be funny going to a meeting. All right, guys, come up with a good Muppets idea. All right, see you guys later.
Later.
We're done.
Do you have it on my desk by tomorrow.
I don't, but give me something. All right, well, I think that'll do it for the show today. We do want to mention, brought them as a sponsor this month, and obviously we can't use them right now, but www.diningfinder.com. There's some very smart guys, and if you know, those hard-to-get dining reservations, they are a very good and useful tool for that, especially if you got bigger parties and stuff like that. So get them, go check them out, and you know, they may be back next month. We don't know. Obviously, right now being shut down, it's kind of hard to do much immediate dining, but you can still probably get it for the when you're planning a trip in September and stuff like that. Yeah. So give them a shot. www.diningfinder.com. And obviously, Expedition Roasters, who are our awesome coffee sponsor, give them a shout out. Go to expeditionroasters.com and use the promo code CTM15. And because you can still get coffee during your self-quarantine, you don't have to talk to anybody. Just the post office leaves it on your front door, and then you don't have to go anywhere and deal with germs or people. So go check them out. And then obviously, if you want to join Club 32, go to ctmvip.com and check it out. So that'll be it for the show today. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining me via our social distancing Diz Dudes. It's weird. It's kind of how Diz Dudes originally was. Like, I feel like it's throwback it Diz Dudes, which was strictly via the internet.
Yeah, this is old school.
And then it is old school, which is strange. But yeah, so we will well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys next
time. Peace.
Peace. Oh, I said peace. You say peace. I don't say peace.
Peace.
Jeez.